All right, take your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. You should have received a handout. Genesis chapter 3. If anyone does need a handout, raise your hand and we'll make sure to get one to you. Genesis chapter 3 is where we'll begin tonight. In our Christian life, the desire is that we would be more like Christ. Jesus is our Savior. He wants us to be conformed to His image. Now, God will do whatever He has to do to get us conformed to His image. He might take you through something that He wouldn't take somebody else through, but His ultimate goal is that we would be conformed to the image of Christ. We need more of Him and less of us. In the process of living here on this earth, we have three enemies. The world is our enemy. Our own flesh is our enemy. And the devil is our enemy. When I was in medical school, I had a professor that says, everybody wants to be healthy, but there's something in the way of them getting healthy. What we need to do is learn about what's in the way and try to understand that so that we can get to be healthy. As a Christian, our desire should be to be spiritually healthy. The world, the flesh, and the devil all oppose our striving after holiness. Well, tonight, it's my desire that we would learn about one of those enemies, and that's the devil. The goal here tonight is not to scare anybody. The goal here tonight is not to make you afraid of the devil. And if you've ever had the thought, well, the devil made me do it, I hope tonight after this lesson you will realize that that's not true. The devil cannot make you do anything. There is the seen world, that we live in the seen world. We see the beauty outside, we can look up, we see the trees, we see tangible things around us. But there is an unseen world that we can't see. And tonight, we're going to look into just one aspect of the unseen world, and that is the devil. The existence of Satan is taught in seven Old Testament books. Genesis, 1 Chronicles, Job, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah. And as well, every New Testament writer speaks of the existence of Satan. Satan is mentioned 37 times in the New Testament, and our Lord taught about Satan. He teaches about him in all of the Gospels. Satan is not a thought. Satan is not a force. Satan is a being. He's a spirit. He's an angel. In fact, he is of the order of the cherubim. They are seraphim and they're a cherubim. That is his order, and we're going to learn about that tonight. Satan was created on either day one or day two. Genesis 1:9 says that Satan fell after creation, but before the fall of man. He is the chief of the fallen angels. If you have your notes there, Genesis chapter 3, notice in verse 1, it says, "And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Let's stop right there. The Bible says that the serpent was more subtle. That word subtle, it means crafty. It means cunning. It means deceitful. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be deceived. It can be easy to be deceived if you don't understand what the real thing is. I enjoy old U.S. paper currency. If I look at a piece of money and there's a new one and I compare it to something else, I've studied the new ones long enough to say, that doesn't look right. That doesn't look exactly. Now, if you were to have some money from England and you were to compare England's money with ours, you would obviously know that they're not the same. But if you had a counterfeit bill next to a real, legitimate bill, how would you know the difference? You study the real thing so you understand the counterfeit. Satan is a deceiver. He tricks us. He can't make us do anything, but he puts things in our path that would cause that. He's treacherous. I don't like to be deceived. Some people think they have different ideas of what the devil looks like. People say, well, what does the devil look like? You know, people think he's got a trident, right? People think he looks mean and angry. The Bible says differently. The Bible describes him as an angel of light. In fact, we're going to learn later on that he was very, very beautiful. He is an accuser of the brethren. We'll learn that here in a little bit as well. Satan was an angel, created being. We know that he has access to the throne of God. We know that from Job. Because God said, Satan, where have you been? He said, I've been walking up and down. I've been going on the earth. And it was God that recommended Job. Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So Satan has access to the earth, and he has access to the third heaven where God is. Either way, he's our adversary. Either way, Satan is our enemy. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ignorance of Satan is what allows him to take advantage of God's people. If you don't understand how the enemy is working, you will not know how to have a counterattack. If you were to study military history, if you were to understand how Eisenhower worked, if you were to understand how General Patton worked, what did they do? They studied the enemy so that they would know better how to create better forces. In medical school, we studied the diseases so that we could understand what is getting in the way of someone having optimal health. It's the same way in the Christian life. If you don't understand the devil, how are you going to understand his tricks? How are you going to understand how he deceives? How are you going to understand his cunning craftiness? Again, the goal here tonight is not to give any honor or glory to Satan, but it's to learn about him so that we will know better how to understand when things happen to us. Ignorance of Satan allows him to get advantage of God's people. There are different names of Satan in the Bible. There is a long list of them. There's the destroyer. The Hebrew word is Abaddon. He's an accuser. He's the adversary. He's the angel of the bottomless pit. He's described as the Antichrist, Apollyon, Beelzebub, Belial, the devil, the enemy, an evil spirit, father of all liars. Satan is a liar. The Bible says that there is no truth in him. No truth. He's the god of this world. In Revelation, he's described as the great red dragon, Lucifer, man of sin, a murderer, old serpent, power of darkness, prince of this world, prince of the power of the air, ruler of darkness, Satan, serpent, son of perdition, tempter, thief, and the wicked one. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had a resume, I wouldn't want any of those names on mine. Those are awful names. All of those describe one of our enemies, Satan. So we're going to learn about him tonight. The personality of Satan. If you have blanks there, well, you do have blanks, but we're going to fill them in. So I trust you brought a writing utensil. First, he possesses intellect. Your blank there. He possesses intellect. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 11, 3. Well, I do have it written up here. Hold on. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, there's that word, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Satan has an intellect. Satan is no dummy. He is highly intelligent. In fact, sometimes I fear that Satan knows more about biblical truth than many Christians. He understands. Lest I fear, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety. He possesses intellect. Here's your next blank. He possesses emotions. He has emotions. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon, this is Satan, was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Satan has emotions. Just like you can grieve the Holy Spirit, you can only grieve someone that you love or that loves you. Satan has emotions as well. He was angry. Why was he angry? Because Satan knows his ultimate doom. He knows that. He's just willingly forgetting what his doom is. Next blank. He possesses a will. Satan has a volition. He can choose or not choose to do something. 2 Timothy 2, 25 and 26. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, notice, who are taken captive by him at his will. Right? Timothy was a letter. This is a pastoral epistle. Paul is writing to Timothy, telling him kind of how to do church. Timothy, as you are the pastor, probably at the church of Ephesus, you need to remember that there will be people in your congregation, there will be people that will gather, that you need to understand to snatch them from the snare of the devil. The devil has a will. He has a choice, just like you have a choice. I have a choice. Satan has a will. That fox there is in a trap. When I was growing up, my pastor was a trapper. He was a fur trader. And there are different kinds of traps for different animals. A bear trap is different than a coon trap, which is different than a muskrat trap, which is different than a beaver trap. They're all different. Why are the traps differently? Because the animals will gravitate to something that suits them. A muskrat is probably not going to get caught in a bear trap because they look very, very different. But they still work. If you were to go out hunting and your foot were to get caught on a trap, if you don't know how to get out of the trap, you're stuck. Have you ever been caught in a trap spiritually? You can't say the devil made me do it. It was your choice, but there are traps. And you will have traps that I won't have. And there will be things that you would be susceptible to that I may not be. But all of us can be caught in a trap, hopefully never physically, but spiritually. Next, he is held morally responsible for his actions. Satan is a created being, and thus if he's a created being is thus subject to the Creator. He is morally responsible for his actions. Then shall he, this is the Lord Jesus, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. This is describing the devil and the angels that fell with him when God kicked them out of heaven. And his fate was sealed from that day. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Humans don't have to go there. Now, the devil is already damned. He is already, that is his final resting place. That cannot be changed. We're going to learn later on how we read in 1 John that the devil is a sinner. And because he's a sinner and iniquity was found in him, he is forever damned to the lake of fire. But humans don't have to go there. Jesus provided a way that we could be encaptured out of the snare of the devil. We don't have to go to hell. We go to hell because we choose to reject Christ. Take your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. This is a prominent passage on the teaching of Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, we're going to look at verse 12 all the way down through verse 19. Ezekiel 12, Ezekiel 28, sorry, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Okay, let me stop right there. This king of Tyrus, this is a personification of Satan. It's describing it as the king of Tyrus, but it's personifying Satan, okay? The king of Tyrus and saying to him, thus saith the Lord God. So think of all these things that are being portrayed about Satan, about the devil. We're going to learn this. Thus saith the Lord God, thou, he's describing Satan, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou, that's referring to Satan, hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. Notice, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Here it is. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. God says, I made you the top cherub. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in the day. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise have they filled. They have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, God says, because you've sinned, here's what I'm going to do. I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore, will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in sight of all them that behold thee. Verse 19, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Notice what it says. This is describing Satan. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. The idea in these few verses here is the idea, notice in verse 13, it says at the end there, the workmanship. Workmanship indicates that God made Satan for a specific service. It says the workmanship of thy tabrets, those are percussion instruments, tabrets, and of thy pipes, those are wind instruments. Do you realize that Satan was created with musical instruments in his being? He was created, it says, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee. He has musical instruments in him. He was heaven's choir director. That's what his job was. He was the anointed cherub. The idea of prepared, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee. This indicates that God had a specific purpose for him. Satan was to use these to lead the heavenly host in worship to God. God designed music for the purpose of worship. Not only was he heaven's choir director, but there were musical instruments that were built into his actual created being. Now follow this. If Satan was created a musical being, he still retains that ability. So wouldn't it go to reason that one of the things that Satan can often use as a temptation is music? Would you say, have you ever heard of something, music, if you call it that, have you ever heard of music and you would describe that as, oh, that is awful, that sounds satanic. Have you ever heard something like that? We all have, right? Satan was created as a musical being. So again, just something to keep in mind. He still retains a lot of that wisdom, but the Bible says that iniquity was found in him. It says he will be a terror and never shall he be anymore. Satan is no gentleman. He's not kind. He's not nice. He wants to devour all of us. Take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. This is another common passage that deals with the teaching about Satan. Isaiah chapter 14. Notice in verse 12, Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 15. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? This is very important because the only time Lucifer is ever mentioned in our Bible is right here. And it's only ever mentioned in the King James and the New King James. All the other versions, they take it out. They don't even say Lucifer. So some people don't even know who Lucifer is. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Here's what he says. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. There are five I wills. If you circle in your Bible, circle the five I wills. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Lucifer means shining one. It means bright light. It means light bearer or a brightness. That was his name. We learned in Ezekiel how he was created. Now we learn that because of his beauty, he said, man, I'm pretty good. You know what? I'm so good, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be, and then he has these five I will statements. Once Satan was designed to reflect God's glory, now he desires to reflect his own. Satan's downfall was pride. It's very easy for any of us to be caught up in pride. Pride is very easy to be seen in the lives of other people, yet it's often kind of hard to see in our own self. Pride. Pride is a small sin with a big price tag. Did you know that you can have pride in your heart and nobody else know it? You can be proud and yet no one else know what's going on in your heart, but God does. And Satan said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. The five I wills of Satan. And God says in verse 15, oh, Satan, you know what's actually going to be? You're going to be brought down to hell and you will go to the sides of the pit. There are limitations to Satan. He's not everywhere. He can't do anything. God puts a limit on him. The limitations of Satan. Here's your first blank. He blinds the minds of the ungodly. He blinds them. Now, Satan cannot damn anyone. Satan cannot send anyone to hell, but he can blind them. If you know from your own experience that there was a time where somebody shared the gospel with you and you said, you know what, that's just not for me, or I'm a good person, or you reject the gospel, do you know what happened? You were blinded. But do you remember the day that you were unblinded and you saw? And the truth was there and you realized, oh, how come I didn't see this before? Jesus did die for me on that Roman cross 2,000 years ago. That was for me, not just mankind, but for me. Satan blinds the minds of the ungodly. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world, that's another name of him, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What's more powerful, light or darkness? Light. Light is far more powerful than darkness. Did you know you can't take a picture without light? The aperture, how much light at the end of your camera is let in. If you have a lot of light or a little light, it depends on the ambient light or the light that's in here, but you can't take a picture without light. You can't see Jesus Christ without understanding the light of the gospel. And what has the devil done? He's blinded the minds. Have you ever talked to somebody, shared the gospel with it, and it just seems like it goes over their head or in one ear and out the other? Or are you just talking to them and it's the deer in the headlights? Look, they don't have a clue. Why? Because they're blinded. Okay, next blank. Satan acts with subtlety. This is, the idea of trickery or craftiness or treacherousness. Ephesians 6:11, right? This is Paul telling the church at Ephesus, this is spiritual warfare. You didn't know you were a soldier, did you? You may have never signed the army and the dotted line and signed up for Uncle Sam, but you sure signed up for the King of Kings. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles is a reference to clever schemes or tricks that are designed to deceive, defraud, or ensnare. When I was in the army, they gave us a whole lot of training on a whole lot of pieces of protection that we had to use. A whole lot. You needed every piece. What if you just say, you know what? I'm just going to take a shield. That's all I'm going to take. Or I'm just going to have the helmet. That's all I need. No, you got to have every part protected. Why? Because the devil knows where you are vulnerable. He's no dummy. He knows and understands, but you put on the whole armor of God, right? All of those things there. And don't you want to be protected against the devil? Of course we do, and we can be. Here's your next one. Satan is powerful, but not omnipotent. Means all powerful. Oh, Satan's powerful. You better believe it. He's powerful, but he's not all powerful. Luke 13:16. And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? You remember this story Dr. Luke tells us about a woman who had been affected by the devil for 18 years. Could you imagine the devil attacking you consistently for 18 years? Man, that'd be a long time. She was bound. Imagine someone wrapped up full in chains. 18 years, Satan bound her? Well, how could he do that? Because he's blinded her eyes? Satan knows the truth. Satan knows that Jesus saves, and he doesn't want people to understand that. He knows the truth. 2 Corinthians 12:7. This is Paul saying, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Did you ever think that some of the calamities, some of the troubles, some of the trials, some of the obstacles in your life, it could be that there is a messenger of Satan that is working on you? That's powerful to think. Now, it doesn't mean that every bad thing we go by, oh, that's the devil. You can't just blame it all on the devil, but Satan has power. And he bound a woman for 18 years. And Paul, wrote half the New Testament. A messenger of Satan was sent to Paul. Listen, if you are on fire for God, you better believe that devil's going to be after you. If our church is on fire for the Lord, why wouldn't the devil try to attack us? Why wouldn't the devil try to attack our pastor? If we want to do what's right, if you're not being attacked, that would almost be scary to me. Because the devil says, oh, there's a worldly Christian. I don't have to do anything with them. They're not doing anything for God. They're not making any impact. No big deal. They're their own worst enemy. I can let them go. Next blank. He's intelligent, but he's not omniscient. He has intelligence, but he doesn't know everything. Satan's not a know-it-all. Oh, he thinks he is, but he's not. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that's the trickery, that's the deceit, as he beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know how I know this verse is true? You know how I know trusting Christ is simple? Because a child can do it. A child can do it. Understand that they're a sinner, that Christ died on that cross for them, and they received the gift of salvation. That's simple, and it's easy. But Satan, it says, lest I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. There's a lot of people that think they are right because the devil has tricked them. He's deceived them. Whether they're in a religion, whether they're in a false cult, no matter what they're in, if anything other than Christ is what you're trusting in, my friends, you're deceived. Satan is intelligent, but he's not omniscient. Next blank. He's influential, but he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere. You say, is Satan here in this church tonight? I don't know. He can't be everywhere, but he's influential. Job, oldest book of the Bible, Job. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Do you see how God corresponds with Satan? They're having a conversation. Whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord. Boy, wouldn't you like to hear that conversation? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. So Satan is now on the earth and he has access to the third heaven where God is. And God says, hey, Satan, where you been? God didn't ask that question because he didn't know where he was. God's asking a question because he's directing the conversation. You parents do that all the time. You're not asking a question because you don't know the answer. You're asking a question because you're directing the conversation. He's influential, but he can't be everywhere. Satan's strategy is to focus our attention on this world, where he's the prince. God would have us focus on that world, the next world, where he is king. Where's your focus tonight? Now, yes, we're studying about Satan. We're learning about his tactics and what he does. But my friends, listen, Satan is defeated. We don't have to be afraid of him. Oh, I could tell you stories about demon-possessed people that I meet, but the goal is not to scare anyone. The goal, everybody knows he's real. He's not a force. He's not a thought. He is a created being. He wants us to focus on here. He wants us to focus on the seen world. God says, set your affection on things above, on the unseen world. There are methods of his temptation. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is from 1 John 2:15. This was D.L. Moody's life verse. The lust of the flesh. There's nothing wrong with your flesh unless it causes you to go be drawn away from Christ. The lust of the eyes. There's nothing wrong with your eyes. The pride of life. There's nothing wrong with your life. There's nothing wrong with having pleasures or having possessions or having prestige. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's the lust of that. It's the inordinate affection. It's not the lust as in an adulterous lust. Of course, that's sinful, but it's just an inordinate affection. If you want things more than you want the Savior, then you're guilty of this. If you want a position high above so you can be the top dog, but you're not honoring the Lord with that, then the Bible says we're guilty of this. There are methods of temptation. There is such thing as a satanic Bible. This was written by a man. His name was Anton LaVey. Anton LaVey was a single child. He was an only child. His parents lived in California. And in California, his parents were kind of freeloafers. They just kind of did whatever. Well, Anton spent a lot of time by himself. He wore a lot of clothes that we would not think would be conducive to young boys. He wore very dark, very black things. And in fact, Anton LaVey was incredibly musical. In fact, from what I researched, he could play musical instruments with his hands and his feet. Highly, highly intelligent. He would have gigs, he would play different things, and he actually often, at one time, he worked for the police department, and he would be in charge of background checks. He got involved in the spirit world, got involved in psychic stuff, started to play in the supernatural, which is very unnatural. Anton LaVey started the Church of Satan in 1966. He was married. He was divorced twice. He had three children. The first two were girls. The last one was a boy. He actually named his son Satan. He started the church in 1966, and it actually is given IRS designation. It is actually considered an entity. In his house, everything was black, had many, many satanic things that were in his house. He wanted nothing to do with God. You know what I find very interesting? Is that he died in a Catholic hospital from heart troubles. And boy, did he have heart troubles. He died 2 days before Halloween, but his family was so set on him honoring the devil that on his death certificate, they actually put Halloween and nobody did anything about it. They said, okay, that's fine. This was a wicked man. And you know what? You know what the Bible says? Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is true. You will always reap what you sow. Don't plant tomato seeds and hope for oranges. You will always reap what you sow. You will always reap more than what you sow. You plant one cherry tomato seed, you get a whole plethora. You always reap what you sow. You always reap more than what you sow. And you know what? You always reap later than what you sow. That's a true statement. God is not, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Satan is an angel of light. In Madison, there is a Luciferian temple that is here. I will not tell you where it is, but it is real. No wonder Madison is a very, very dark place. But you know what? Light always dispels darkness. These are some satanic symbols. If you find these at different places or shops or restaurants or paraphernalia or places, just be mindful of this. These are satanic symbols. And if you look at them long enough and you can see, some of them have 666 in there. Some of them have an upside down cross. Some of them, etc. Here's your next blank. Satan's ultimate end is the lake of fire. That's his end, is the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 11, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. God will not annihilate the devil. He will not completely wipe him out, because if he did, that would end his suffering. God says, you will be tormented day and night forever. That is what will make hell awful. Hell is real. It's a lake of fire, the bottomless pit, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's his ultimate end. Satan is our adversary. He's not our opponent. He's our enemy. He's not just on the other side. He's the enemy. The NBA finals are going on right now. Teams are playing against each other. How do they know what the other one's doing? They study their tactics. We don't just have an opponent. We have an enemy who does not want you to do anything for God. Nothing. He's our enemy. There is much deception by Satan. Yes, he has access to the third heaven. He's an accuser of the brethren. There's much deception going on all over the world, whether it be on the other side of the globe or whether it be on the other side of the street. There's a lot of deception going on. Satan oftentimes masquerades as a wolf in sheep's clothing. We are commanded to resist the devil. There's your blank. We are commanded to resist the devil. James. Who was James? James was the half-brother of our Lord. And if James said this, if he would, you can imagine the conversation with James and Jesus. Can you imagine that? And James, in his book, which is often called the Proverbs of the New Testament, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he might go away from you. No way, it doesn't say that. Resist the devil, and the devil will think about leaving. No. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you resist him, it's the idea of a stiff arm, keeping him at arm's length. Keep him away from you. Keep him at a distance. If you resist the devil, which is possible, you can't say, well, the devil made me do it. You can't say that. You resist the devil, he will flee from you. He will. This is my last slide. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. John was the beloved apostle, right? He was probably the youngest, he was probably 18 when he was an apostle. He lived the longest. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, right? 1 John, he said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, I don't know about you. I'd rather have somebody with me than somebody just all around me. And we have that. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us. The Bible says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 2 Timothy 2:19. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Notice, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Did you know the devil was a sinner? For this purpose, what purpose? The devil sinned, the five I wills, he was kicked out of heaven, hell was created for the devil and his angels. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was revealed, right? How do we know how God is revealed? Through his word that he gave us. That's his revelation to us. It was manifested. I've never seen Jesus. I've never seen him with my physical eyes. But I believe what God gave us. And that was manifested to me. How? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Satan is destroyed. Oh, he's active, but his fate is sealed. You know, the greatest weapon that you have is not your intellect. It's not your prestige. It's not anything you have. The greatest weapon we have is God's word. And God's word will give us what we need to defeat the devil. He's already defeated, but you know what? Sometimes he gets victory in our lives, doesn't he? He doesn't have to. You can't say the devil made me do it, because you and I have a choice. The Bible says that if we yield ourselves to the Lord, Satan will flee. I trust as we leave here, we go about our day, and you go back to work, and you go about your day, I just hope and pray that the Bible becomes more real to you. Do you understand how important the Bible is? Because this is what will defeat the devil. This right here in our lives. We apply it to our lives, and then God allows us to take the word and defeat that. When Satan tempted the Lord, what did he use? Verses in the Bible. We can do the same thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we could be here tonight. Thank you for your many blessings that you give to us. Lord, my desire tonight was not to exalt Satan in any way. Lord, we hate the devil. We hate what he does. We hate what he stands for. But Lord, we love you. Billy Sunday said, you can't love flowers unless you hate weeds. You can't love God unless you hate the devil. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would have an understanding of who Satan is and what he does. But Lord, he's a defeated foe. He's real. It's not just fake. It's not just some mantra. It's not just some force. Lord, we know that he is actively seeking to devour us. But thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it never changes and that it can be applied in our situation. Lord, I pray you would bless tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for these dear folks that came out. Lord, I pray you would dismiss us with your blessing. As we go home, I pray, Lord, that you would give us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring us back again on Sunday. Thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.